Acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, flowery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 34, Sunny Side Up, Tuesday, April 15th, 2014. I'm your host, Sarah, podcasting from Yin Hu Cha Yuan, Silver Lake Tea House. Show notes for this episode can be found on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. You can also follow me on Twitter or Instagram as Sarah Pomegranate. Today's episode includes the following segments: ever-expanding skill set, the back porch, the front porch, gratitude journal, and double happiness. Welcome back, everyone, and thanks for joining me this week. At Yin Hu, we have had three glorious days of warm, sunny weather, during which we did a bit of gardening, mostly cleaning up, cutting off dead growth, moving branches, raking stones back into the driveway, and doing a little bit of composting, which was very exciting. It's been a few years since Samuel and I built our own compost bin, and into it we have been putting all of our kitchen scraps and waste and turning it occasionally. And this spring was the first time I actually harvested a bunch of compost, put it in the wheelbarrow, and spread it around on top of our beds, our garden beds. At Yin Hu, we have a great deal of shade, which is perfect for our unair-conditioned house because it keeps us rather cool in the summertime. But it means that it's difficult to grow much of anything. So we have a lot of shade types of plants like ferns and ivy. We have a few daylilies and liriope in some sunny spots. And I pot a bunch of herbs so that I can use them in cooking all summer. We don't have a lawn at Yin Hu, and we are pretty proud of that, that we don't spend a lot of our time or energy doing something like mowing a lawn. We would like to have more plants that are interesting to bird life and insect life, like butterflies, and we are working on doing that. But this weekend was the first time we were able to really get outside and get a lot of work done. And now we are experiencing a very cold, hard rain all day today, Tuesday. We're looking forward to more sunny weather and more outdoor work and more hanging out on the porch. At Yin Hu, we have a porch that goes all the way around the first floor. It's about 5.5 feet deep. We've refinished it and we condition it every summer. So the floor of the porch is just beautiful. And the view, of course, is very nice. And so that becomes really our outdoor living area during the summer. We don't spend a lot of time inside. This weekend, we had our first cookout and we made roasted chicken on our big green egg charcoal grill. And of course, I had to add a rice dish, which I'll talk about a little bit later. I know that in some parts of the country, folks are still having snow and some really wintry weather. So I hope that the warmer temperatures greet you soon and you can spend some more time outside. Ever-expanding skill set. In April, I have continued my quest with the Bulk Bins cook-along, and this month I have been experimenting with a variety of kinds of rice from the Bulk Bins at my local health food store. This week, I tried Madagascar pink rice. I didn't have a lot of luck finding recipes specifically for this rice, but I did find some interesting information about Madagascar pink rice. There's a lot of lore and legend, I guess, surrounding this rice. Apparently, all of the pink rice in Madagascar is derived from one grain, some sources say, a few grains at the bottom of a bag of rice that was saved by Jean-Baptiste Racotamandimbi, who is also known as Dista. And in Madagascar, this kind of pink rice is called Dista rice. That's how everyone refers to it. It is highly nutritious because of its bran layer surrounding the grain of rice. It has a flavor that is reminiscent of cloves or cinnamon, some say nutmeg. I did find that it was very nutty tasting. I prepared it with a recipe that I found on a Whole Foods website for Madagascar pink rice that is cooked with red chili and orange juice and orange rind. In a previous episode, I talked about the fact that when you cook rice, whatever your cooking liquid is your opportunity to add a lot of flavor. And this particular recipe really capitalizes on that idea. Most of the time when I cook rice, I bring the cooking liquid to a boil with a little bit of fat like butter or olive oil and a little bit of salt. I bring the liquid to a boil and then I add the rice, bring it back to the boil, and then give it a stir. Once everything is really going, then I turn it down to a simmer, cover it, and then I don't touch it again until all of the liquid has been absorbed. With this recipe, you start with some fat, in this case, coconut oil, which is a solid at room temperature and needs to melt. And you melt that coconut oil, and then into it you add some red chili paste. I found Thai red chili paste in my local health food store, and I used about a tablespoon of that because I wasn't sure about how strong it was, and I didn't know if I wanted something that would overpower the dish, so I used it sparingly. I think next time I could use a little bit more. So once that is all nice and toasty and bubbling, then you add the rice and you toast the rice. Once the rice is toasty and you get that toasty smell, almost like you're popping popcorn, then you add the liquid, in this case, orange juice. And that's the cooking liquid for the dish. And you cover, turn down to a simmer, and then let that go until all of the liquid is absorbed. Pink rice is more like a long-grained basmati or jasmine rice. It does not take as long to cook as brown rice or black rice, which can take up to an hour to cook fully sometimes. This is quite quick cooking. And then you add, to make it a pilaf, you add some almonds and scallions, and then I toss that with some mescaline salad greens to make it into a kind of a salad. A very nice dish that I highly recommend. In researching pink rice and where it was from and what it was all about, I found that in Madagascar, the yield of pink rice is nearly twice as much as other kinds of rice planted on similar acreage. And one of the reasons for that is something called the Système de Riziculture Intensif, SRI, a system of rice intensification in which farmers have really helped the crop become more sustainable with stronger root systems and something that can yield more rice over time. So this is one of the main exports of the Malagasy farmers, and something that is very important to their culture and their livelihood. Another recipe that I would like to recommend is for ginger fried rice. This is something that I've had at Spice Market in New York City. Spice Market is, I guess it straddles the area between Chelsea and the Meatpacking District. It is very close to the entrance to the High Line, the park that has been created from the railroad line that was running high above the west side of New York to serve the meatpacking industry. And it's since been repurposed into a beautiful park that keeps growing and growing and growing as its popularity increases and more money is raised to work on the park. There's Spice Market there, which is great if you're ever visiting that part of New York City and you're interested in some Asian fusion, is how I describe the cuisine. And the chef there, who is the culinary powerhouse behind the menu, is Jean-Georges von Gerichten. And he came up with this ginger fried rice. Mark Bittman, who is one of my very favorite food writers and food thinkers, reverse engineered the rice and came up with a recipe that has been posted on the Smitten Kitchen website, which I've linked to in my show notes. This is a rice, very simple, made with leeks and day-old rice. So it's a great dish to make if you have ordered Chinese takeout and you have boxes and boxes of white rice left over. This would be a great way to turn it into something fantastic. Of course, you could always use a more nutritious rice, but you make it the day before and then you let it get all starchy and sticky in the refrigerator, and then you take it out to prepare this dish. So it is like a fried rice. You have some oil in the pan and you saute the rice that's already been cooked. You top it with a very crunchy combination of ginger and garlic that have been fried up beforehand. And over the top of it, you put a fried egg. It makes a really fantastic presentation. It also creates a dish that can stand up on its own as a light supper or a nice lunch. This, to me, is the appropriate application for a fried egg. I'm one of those people who a fried egg in the morning and the yolk looking accusingly up at me from the plate is just, it's a little much. It's too violent for me early in the day. So I think that fried eggs are really more appropriate, not as a breakfast food, but as something you would have for lunch or dinner. What do you think about eggs for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? More importantly, what do you think about the rice dishes that I've been talking about, and do you have any of your own to suggest? You can participate in the Bulk Bins Cook-Along by posting recipes to the forums on Ravelry, or by tagging your Twitter or Instagram post with hashtag bulkbinscal. The back porch. This week I completed two projects. One is Galactic Orbits, which is a crocheted top by Linda Skuya. This is something I crocheted up in Rowan Organic Wool Cotton Blend. It's 50% wool, 50% cotton in the peony colorway. And I used an H hook, which is slightly smaller, one size smaller than the pattern called for. This is a great pattern. It crocheted up very quickly, and I think it will be a really nice garment for warm weather. I plan to wear it to the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival. And I think that it creates a nice balance between wearing something handmade and still being cool. I'm hoping for some very warm weather in Maryland. I did not use, disappointingly, I did not use as much yarn as I had ordered. I still have a ball and a half left of the Rowan Organic yarn. So I was thinking about crocheting or maybe knitting a lightweight cowl to go with the top. Not sure about that. We'll see. The other project I finished this week is I finished plying the Wensleydale that I had ordered from Fat Cat Knits. This was in the London Fog color, which was a lot of grays, very muted, but a very high luster on the Wensleydale fiber. So it seems as though it's lit from within. It's the kind of yarn that will look very different in the light as opposed to in shade. I got 390 yards from 6 ounces, and this is between a sport and a DK weight. I kind of wish that I had chain plied this to preserve the color changes. They are quite subtle, and so there's a lot of muted color in the yarn. And I think it could be a little more exciting if I had preserved the color changes. Nevertheless, it was very enjoyable to spin Wensleydale, which is a very long staple fiber. This is the longest staple fiber that I have spun with so far. And this month marks 1 year since I learned to spin by taking a class at a local shop called The Spinnery in Frenchtown, New Jersey, and I bought my Louette S10 double treadle, which I very much enjoy spinning on. And now I have to consider what will be the next fiber to go on my wheel. I also need to think about what to do with this yarn and several other yarns that I have spun up recently. I had been in the habit of knitting something up with yarn that I spun immediately after plying it, and I have a little bit of a backlog of hand spun. So I need to do some searches on Ravelry and think about what to do with that yarn. So that was Wensleydale from Ginny of Fat Cat Knits. She has a variety of different fibers, and one thing I like about Ginny's shop is that you can buy in 4 or 6 ounce quantities. So you can get a little more fiber without committing to 8 ounces for a larger project, or if you're not spinning very thin and you want to get some yardage. So check out Ginny's Fat Cat Knits shop online. On the front porch are 2 new projects that I'm going to talk about. One is on the needles already, and one I hope will be begun before I record next week. I have begun another pattern by Simone Eich of Wolverk Designs. This is called Farbklang, which translates color of sound. Simone, I think I've mentioned on the podcast before, because I have knit a few of her patterns, is a synesthete, meaning that she sees numbers and words in colored form, or she envisions or has an aura of color when she's presented with different words and numbers. So this Farbklang color of sound really picks up on that idea. And it's highly experimental as a pattern, meaning that it encourages you to experiment with variations of color. You also do a little bit of weaving in the pattern. And it just, the whole look of this scarf slash shawl has just an offbeat, improvisational look. You knit this garment, or accessory, I guess I should say, you knit the accessory in a long triangle, and then you hook the wide end of the triangle back onto itself to form a kind of cowl or shawl or capelet. I guess that all depends on how wide you make it and how thick the yarn that you use. I like Simone's patterns because they are written very clearly and allow for a great deal of versatility at the same time, which I think is difficult to do. She also gives good instructions about how to do the weaving, and you can also add beads to this pattern. I think it is great to use up scrap yarn, so that is what I'm doing. I'm using several varieties of blues and greens to complete this pattern, And I'm really looking forward to seeing how this turns out and posting photographs of it. That is Farbklang, Farbklang, from Simone Eich of Wolwerk. And that is spelled Wollwerk. The second pattern I'm interested in working on is Stephen West's Tripartite. This is a lace weight vest. I think that's the best word to use. It's an open, airy, oversized vest that is incredibly versatile. It can be worn in a variety of ways that are demonstrated on his pattern page. And it is knit with lace weight yarn. So this will be my first lace weight project. And I have placed an order for lace weight, which is wool and silk blend in the seaweed colorway from Leading Men Fiber Arts. I've heard a lot of folks talk about their extreme pleasure with the colors and the dyeing of Leading Men Fiber Arts. I have not yet experienced that for myself, so I'm eager to receive this yarn and cast on this pattern. Gratitude Journal. Did you know that there is a way to improve your vocabulary and participate in the World Food Program at the same time? Maybe you know about freerice.com. This is a website designed by the World Food Program, which is based in Rome, Italy, and is dedicated to providing food for people in the world who need it. And they have several. It used to be just English vocabulary, but now there are a whole host of other topics that you can do in quiz format. So there's a question and four choices, and you choose the one you think is correct. And as you accumulate correct answers, there's a graphic with a bowl, and rice grains keep appearing in that bowl until it's piled high, and it demonstrates the contribution that you have made to the World Food Program. It's 10 grains of rice for each correct answer. One of the additional topics that I discovered when I was playing around on Free Rice this week is there's a quote attribution game that you can play. And the very first quote that I was presented with was this one. The first man to compare the cheek of a young woman to a rose was obviously a poet. The first to repeat it was possibly an idiot. And I correctly guessed Salvador Dali, even though I had not heard of this quote before, but I think it's great and very appropriate for National Poetry Month. So this month for Double Happiness, I will be sharing a poem with you titled Egg. And it is by the Slovene poet Aleš Steiger. When you kill it at the edge of the pan, you don't notice that the egg grows an eye in death. It is so small, it doesn't satisfy even the most modest morning appetite. But it already watches, already stares at your world. What are its horizons? Whose glassy-eyed perspectives? Does it see time which moves carelessly through space? Eyeballs, eyeballs, cracked shells, chaos or order. Big questions for such a little eye at such an early hour. And you, do you really want an answer? When you sit down, eye to eye, behind a table, you blind it soon enough with a crust of bread.
Acorns are dropping off my Jenny's house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Thanks for listening. Music for today's episode is Sweet. Music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Krista Long and Cesar Diaz. If you enjoyed today's episode, consider leaving a review or a rating on iTunes, or you can like the show's Facebook page. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire, just like Linda Cousins, but I don't know why. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Nature's ever get you high till your face is mine. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine.